All right, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to try to tackle something that I think pretty much everyone listening has had to deal with at some point in their lives. We're talking about presentations, and specifically slide presentations. And you know, we've all been there, right? Stuck in a room, watching slide after slide, counting down the minutes until it's over. We've all experienced what some people like to call death by PowerPoint. But what if there's a better way? What if presentations could be a way to really connect with people and share information in a way that's engaging and even, dare I say, enjoyable? That's what we want to look at today.
Oh, absolutely. I think we've all seen both sides of the coin, right? You've got those presentations where the speaker is just captivating and the information flows naturally. And then you have those presentations where you're just fighting to stay awake. And a lot of it comes down to how those slides are designed and used.
Exactly. And for today's deep dive, we're going to be drawing on the insights of a medical writing and design team who've been doing this for a long time. We're talking since 1998, so they've got a lot of experience crafting really effective presentations. They know what works and what doesn't.
Wow, 1998, that is a long time. So, over those years, what have they identified as the biggest factors separating those truly effective presentations from the ones that, well, miss the mark?
They break it down into three main areas: the personality of the presenter, the content itself, and the design of the slides. Now, while we can't really give you a personality transplant and the inherent interest in your topic might vary, the content and the design, that's where it can make a huge difference.
Okay, so focusing on the things we can control, that makes sense. But when we talk about design, where should we even begin? What are some of the things that they've identified as essential for creating impactful slides?
They've actually outlined six key disciplines, which are text, typography, bullets, color, images, and themes. And we're going to dive into each of these in detail today. And let's start with the most fundamental element, the one that often gets overlooked: the text on your slides.
Text on slides, it seems so simple, right?
Yeah.
But I've definitely seen my fair share of presentations where the text was just doing more harm than good. What are some of the things to keep in mind?
Well, the biggest takeaway here is to keep it brief and clear. Use keywords and punchy phrases. Definitely avoid those long, convoluted sentences. Remember, people are there to listen to you, not to read a novel off the screen.
That's so true. The slide should be there to support what you're saying, not to replace it. And they also emphasize a really simple but crucial step: spell checking.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Spell checking is a must. But they even take it a step further. They recommend writing your presentation in a word processor first, before you even open up your presentation software. This helps you to really focus on the content without getting distracted by all the fancy design features.
That's a great tip. Get the words right first. Now, what about that thing that happens in almost every presentation? You know, where you can just see the audience reading ahead on your slides.
It's a classic problem. Our brains just aren't very good at processing written and spoken information at the same time. We naturally gravitate towards reading. So if you have a slide with more than, say, 10 words on it, they recommend a technique called progressive revealing. Basically, you only show one part of the text at a time. It helps to keep everyone focused on what you're saying.
Oh, that's clever. Kind of like creating a visual rhythm to match your spoken words. But they also have this idea that sometimes the best slides have no text at all.
Yeah, and this is where it gets interesting. They suggest that some of the most powerful slides are the ones that rely heavily on strong visuals and your spoken word. The slide itself might be pretty minimal, but it's your explanation that brings it to life. The idea is that the slides should complement your message, not dominate it. And they point to presentations by people like Steve Jobs or many TED Talks as examples of this approach.
So the speaker's still the center of attention, the slides are just a tool. So before we jump into creating these amazing slides, what about planning the content?
Oh, planning is essential. They're very clear about this. They say you absolutely need to map out your entire presentation before you even touch your presentation software. You should have a clear, central message, a logical flow of ideas, and a solid understanding of your data.
That makes sense. Think it through before you start clicking around in PowerPoint.
Exactly. They also suggest aiming for roughly 2 minutes per slide as a general guideline. This can help you estimate how many slides you'll need and how long your presentation will be. And a big one is the one idea per slide rule. Try to distill each slide down to a single key takeaway expressed in one sentence. Then think about what visual would best support that idea.
Okay, so one idea per slide, keep it focused. And how do you structure all of these individual ideas into a cohesive presentation?
They suggest thinking of it like a story. A good story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. and your presentation should be the same. Your slides then become the visual elements that enhance that story and make it more engaging for your audience.
So you're the storyteller, and the slides are like your illustrations. It shifts the focus back to the presenter being the main attraction.
Precisely. They emphasize that you, the presenter, are the most valuable part of the presentation. You provide the expertise, the insights, the interpretation. The slides are just there to support and enhance what you're saying.
A vital reminder, especially in a world where we're often tempted to just let the slides speak for themselves. And speaking of speaking, they have some interesting thoughts on how to integrate visuals and your spoken words effectively.
Right. Instead of just slapping text on top of an image, they recommend describing the image to your audience. Our brains process visual and auditory information separately, so this actually makes it easier to understand and remember.
It's about creating a synergy between the visual and the auditory. And I know they also have some strong opinions on reading from slides.
They're pretty adamant about this one. They say to minimize the amount of text on your slides to avoid the temptation to just read it all out. Highlight the key points. And then use your spoken words to provide the details and the nuance. In fact, they even have these two lines in bold. Do not put every word you intend to say on your slides and use phrases rather than sentences.
Wow, yeah, they're not mincing words there.
Yeah.
Short and sweet, that's the key. So let's talk about another staple of presentations. Bulleted lists. When are they a good idea, and when should we maybe reconsider?
They suggest that bullet points can be useful for highlighting important pieces of information in a clear and concise way, especially when you're presenting a series of related points or numerical data. But like any tool, they need to be used strategically.
Okay, so strategically, what are some specific guidelines for using bullet points effectively?
Well, first off, always ask yourself, does this information really need to be in a bulleted list? Could it be presented more effectively in another way? Then, try to keep each bullet point as concise as possible. They suggest that a 3-word bullet can be very impactful. 4 words is good, 5 is okay, 7 starts to get a little wordy, and anything over 9 is probably too long. Also, be mindful of how many bullets you have on a single slide. 3 is a good target, 4 is often excellent, 5 can feel a little heavy, and more than 6 is just going to overwhelm people. And lastly, if you only have 1 point to make, you don't need a bullet point for it. Just say it.
Those are some great rules of thumb. Short, to the point, and easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Let's shift gears a bit and talk about the visual presentation of text, which is typography.
Ah, typography. It might seem like a small detail, but it can really make a big difference in how your presentation is perceived. The most fundamental rule is to make sure your text is large enough to be read easily from the back of the room. If people can't read your slides, they're not going to get your message.
Readability is key. What if you have a lot of information to convey and you just can't seem to get the font size above 24 points?
Then it's probably time to reevaluate how much information is on that slide. Maybe you can break it up into 2 slides or find a way to condense the text. And they also highlight that the font you choose can convey subtle messages about your topic and your tone.
Interesting point. The font itself can actually influence how people feel about your presentation.
Exactly. They talk about the difference between serif fonts, like Times New Roman or Garamond, which have those little decorative strokes at the ends of the letters, and sans serif fonts like Arial or Calibri, which have a cleaner, more modern look. Sans serif fonts are generally better for on-screen presentations because the serifs can get a little blurry on a projector.
So sans serif for clarity. Got it. And what about consistency in font choice throughout the presentation?
Consistency is crucial. Stick with the same font family for your entire presentation. And while it might be tempting to use a really unique or fancy font, they advise against it. If the computer you're presenting on doesn't have that font installed, it could get substituted with something completely different, which could mess up your design.
Ah, the dreaded font substitution. Always a good idea to keep it simple. And how do we go about highlighting certain parts of our text to draw attention to specific words or phrases?
Use things like variations in text size, bolding, italics, or color. These are effective ways to create visual hierarchy and guide your audience's attention. But, and this is important, stay away from things like underlining, text effects, and word art. These can make your presentation look dated and unprofessional, and always make sure there's enough contrast between your text color and the background color.
Great points. So we covered the basics of text and typography. Let's move on to that all-important first impression, the front slide.
Yeah, your front slide is like the cover of your book. It's the first thing people see, and it sets the tone for your entire presentation. They encourage you to think of your title like a newspaper headline, something that's catchy and informative, and pair it with a strong, memorable visual.
It's that initial hook to grab the audience's attention.
Right. And because people will likely be looking at your front slide while they're settling in and waiting for you to start, it should be engaging and give them a clear idea of what your presentation is about. They even have an example right in the text. Use contrasting text colors to draw attention. It's simple, but it works.
I like that. Straightforward and effective. Now let's talk about a powerful visual tool that often gets overlooked. Color.
Color is really interesting because it has such a strong impact on our emotions. They explain that color can be used strategically to persuade, motivate, and keep your audience engaged. There's even research suggesting that color can boost interest, improve learning, and help people remember information better.
So color is not just about aesthetics, it's about enhancing the entire presentation experience. But how do we use it effectively without going overboard?
The key is to keep it simple and consistent. They recommend sticking to a color palette of no more than 5 colors for your entire presentation. They also talk about the difference between cool colors, like blues and greens, which are often good for backgrounds, and warm colors, like oranges and reds, which tend to stand out more and work well for foreground elements. But they also emphasize that these are just guidelines, not hard and fast rules. The best color choices will depend on your specific content and audience.
So be thoughtful about your color choices. And what if you're not a designer and you're not really sure about color theory or how to create an effective palette?
They recommend using online color palette generators. There are tons of great resources out there, like Adobe Color, which used to be called Coolers, and 0-255. These tools can give you some inspiration and help you create palettes that work well together.
That's a good tip. Even if you don't have a natural eye for color, there are tools out there to help you. Now, beyond individual colors, what about the overall visual style of your presentation? They call this themes and templates.
A consistent visual theme is super important for keeping your audience engaged and making your presentation look professional. Now, PowerPoint and Keynote come with a bunch of built-in templates, but they advise against using them.
Really? Why is that?
Well, a lot of those templates have elements that can be distracting, and chances are your audience has seen them a million times before. It can make your presentation feel generic or even outdated.
So avoid the default templates.
Mm-hmm.
What's the alternative? Do we need to become graphic design wizards?
You don't necessarily need to design a custom template from scratch, although you certainly can if you want to. The key is to establish a clear set of design rules that you follow consistently throughout your presentation. This includes things like your color palette, the font sizes and colors you'll use for different types of text, like titles, headings, and body text, and any guidelines for recurring elements like slide numbers, logos, and footers. And they have 2 more really important points in bold. They say, don't use headings or titles unless they communicate the main message of the slide and be generous with empty space.
Those are great points. A heading should be more than just a label. It should actually tell you something about the content of the slide. And white space is so important for making your slides look clean and uncluttered. Now let's talk about visuals in the more literal sense, images.
Images are incredibly powerful because our brains process visual information much faster than text. When you combine a spoken narrative with relevant visuals, you create a much richer learning experience, and people are more likely to understand and remember what you're saying.
Makes sense. A picture is worth 1,000 words, as they say. But there's a common mistake that people make when using images.
Yeah, they warn against trying to present the same information both visually and in text form at the same time. Our brains have a hard time processing all that information at once. So use images to grab attention, illustrate key concepts, and evoke emotion.
Good point. Keep it simple and let the images do the heavy lifting. What about choosing the right images? Any tips on that?
Quality is huge. Always use high-resolution images. Blurry or pixelated images make your whole presentation look unprofessional. Also, use clip art and cartoons sparingly, and only if they're really appropriate for your audience and the tone of your presentation. Don't cram too many images onto a single slide. It creates visual clutter and can even send mixed messages. And never stretch or distort images to make them fit your layout. It distorts the image and makes it look bad. If you have secondary images that are there to support the main image, consider making them slightly transparent so they don't steal the show.
Excellent advice. Now, what about using images as the central focus of a slide, maybe with minimal or no text?
They're big fans of this approach. They say to think about dedicating entire slides to powerful full-screen images. images of people can be especially effective at creating a connection with your audience. And here's a little tip. When using images of people, try to position their eyes about a third of the way down from the top of the slide. It's just a more visually pleasing composition. As for finding images, you can use your own photos, buy stock photos, or look for free images online. Just make sure you're aware of copyright restrictions.
Copyright is definitely something to keep in mind. Now, here's something I've seen a lot. People using their slides as both their presentation visuals and their speaking notes. What do they say about that?
They're pretty clear that they don't recommend it. They argue that slides should be primarily visual aids for the audience. In fact, they say that good slides should actually be less effective without the speaker's narration.
That's an interesting way to think about it. If the slides tell the whole story on their own, you're probably putting too much information on them.
Exactly. If you do need to create a presentation that can stand alone, maybe for training purposes or something like that, they suggest using the notes section in your presentation software to store your more detailed narrative. Or, even better, create a separate document with all your key messages and supporting information. And here's the kicker. Don't give out the notes until after your presentation. You don't want people reading ahead and missing your live delivery.
Makes sense. Keep the focus on you and your message during the presentation itself. Let's dive into a topic that can be especially tricky for people in technical fields. Presenting data.
Data. This is where people tend to fall into the data dump trap, cramming as much information as possible onto a single slide. They really caution against this. It leads to tiny fonts and forces you to use laser pointers to guide people through a sea of numbers.
I think we've all been there. Those slides are just impossible to follow.
And another common mistake is copying and pasting graphs and tables directly from journal articles or other sources. Those visuals are often designed for a different context and can have fonts that are way too small for a presentation. They also often have unnecessary detail and formatting that doesn't match your presentation. The solution is to redraw your data visualizations specifically for your presentation. Simplify them, highlight the key insights, and make sure they fit with your overall visual theme.
It's about curating the data to tell a specific story, not just throwing everything at the audience. And they also recommend checking out resources on data visualization best practices, which is helpful. What about different types of charts?
They encourage using a variety of charts. Don't get stuck using the same type of chart for everything. Pie charts are good for showing proportions, but limit yourself to 4 to 6 slices and use color or exploded slices to highlight key parts. Vertical bar charts are helpful for illustrating changes over time or comparing things across categories, but keep it to 4 to 8 bars to avoid visual clutter. Horizontal bar charts are great for comparing quantities, and line charts are perfect for showing trends. You can even add annotations to your line charts to highlight specific points.
And tables. They seem to be a popular way to present data.
They actually point out that tables are often the worst offenders when it comes to data dumping. While tables can be useful for comparing precise numbers side by side, they recommend limiting them to a maximum of 5 rows and 5 columns. And try to avoid just pasting in huge tables for manuscripts. They often have way too much information, the fonts are usually too small, and they're just not very engaging to look at.
So use tables sparingly and strategically. What about those really complex visuals that you just can't simplify?
If you have to present something complex, they suggest a technique called building the slide. Basically, you reveal the information in stages, explaining each part as you go. It helps your audience digest the information in smaller chunks. And they have this great line, if you are not going to take time to explain something, then remove it from the slide.
That's a powerful statement. It's about respecting your audience's time and making sure every element on your slide has a purpose. Now let's talk about something that can be fun but also dangerous. Animation, transitions, and builds.
Modern presentation software has all these bells and whistles, and when used well, they can add a little extra something to your presentation. But the key word here is well. Overusing animations and transitions can really tire out your audience, and all that movement on the screen can actually distract people from your message.
Less is more, right?
Exactly. Only use these effects if they really serve a purpose, and a good reminder. You are not Steven Spielberg. You're not trying to create a Hollywood blockbuster here. You're trying to share information effectively.
Keep the focus on the content. So what are some things to consider before you start adding animations and transitions?
Always ask yourself, is this effect really necessary? Would my point be just as strong without it? They suggest using builds for bulleted lists. It helps control the flow of information and stops people from reading ahead. But don't use them on every slide. And one more thing, Avoid sound effects. They're almost always distracting and rarely add anything of value.
Agreed. Sound effects are usually more cheesy than helpful in a professional presentation. So as we wrap up their insights, what are some of their final thoughts on the art of presentations?
They talk about how presentations have gotten a bit of a bad reputation with terms like PowerPointless and death by PowerPoint. And a lot of this comes from presentations becoming synonymous with just reading bullet points off of slides.
It's true. Presentation software has given more people the ability to create presentations, but it's also led to a lot of, well, mediocre presentations.
That's their point, exactly. They argue that poorly designed slides often fail to communicate information effectively or capture the real essence of the message. Their advice: dare to be different. Step away from the computer and really think about your message. Think of your presentation as a story. Engage with your audience, share anecdotes, and use the slide sorter view to make sure your ideas flow logically. Remember, you want your audience to understand why you're there and why they should care.
Storytelling and audience engagement, those are the keys. And they even suggest a fun little resource for learning more about these principles.
They do. If you want a more entertaining and maybe slightly easier to digest look at these ideas, they recommend a video on YouTube by a guy named Don McMillan. It's called Life After Death by PowerPoint, and it's a pretty funny take on a lot of these same concepts.
Humor can be a great way to make things stick. So as we wrap things up here, what's the one big takeaway they want to leave us with?
They briefly mention their own experience in creating presentations and how they can help people with things like writing, reviewing, and even putting together speaking notes. But their main message is this: human memory is limited, so your job as a presenter is to be clear, memorable, and engaging. Follow these guidelines, make thoughtful design choices, and be considerate of your audience. Everyone benefits when presentations are done well.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Respect your audience, respect their time, and make it worth their while.
Absolutely. So here's a final thought for you to chew on. How might these principles of effective slide design apply to other forms of visual communication in your life, maybe in your work or even in your personal life? Something to think about.
It is. It's not just about presentations. It's about communication in general. Thanks for joining me for this deep dive into slide design.
And thank you for listening. Until next time.